This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, give us the strength and courage to allow you to remove all that weighs us down, so that you might raise us up on eagle's wings, so that we might claim the destiny to which you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. I ran across a story that I would like to share with you as we begin. It's a story of a carriage drawn by a pair of young and spirited steeds. In the vehicle, the driver holds the reins and guides the horses on the straight and smooth road. One day, a heavy drowsiness comes upon the driver, and he falls fast asleep. The horses, not feeling the restraint of the reins, go off the right path, and soon they are bouncing over bush and brush to the edge of a deep pit, a bottomless abyss. A man who is standing nearby sees the threatened danger. He calls out to the driver in a loud and mighty voice, "Wake up! Save yourself!" With a start, the driver suddenly awakens. In a moment, he realizes his peril. Pale and trembling, he hastily grasps the reins, and exerting almost superhuman effort, he succeeds in swerving the horses to one side, thus saving his own life and those of his animals. The author of the story says the moral is this: the fiery steeds are the appetites, desires, lusts, and passions to which the heart of the human inclines from youth. The driver is the wisdom, understanding, and intelligence with which God has endowed human life, that we might rule over our appetites and desires and have dominion over our self-destructive impulses. You know who wrote that story? Plato. It struck me when I read it that, well, that could have been something Dr. Phil would say. But it's Plato. It points to the fact that temptation is something that has been there from the beginning and will be there until the end of time. It's something that would have been a part of Jesus' life from the manger, hence the appropriateness of the tune we sang for the sequence hymn. So I thought, as we begin each Lenten season on this first Sunday of Lent, with the different versions of the temptations in the desert this year being Luke, perhaps it would be good for us to sort of do a practicum on temptation, a sort of bulletized practical sermon that talks about temptation. Bullet number one: the demons, the devil, Satan, the forces of evil, whatever you want to call it, is real. The thing that the devil or the demons or whoever you want to call it would love for us to think is that the forces of evil do not exist, because that's the easiest way for them to take over. Now, we know that Jesus has won the victory over death and the grave and evil, and so we don't have to run around like scaredy cats and afraid of the devil around every corner, but is it important that we acknowledge the existence is there? The devil was real for Jesus, and so the devil is real for us. Number two: there's no shortcut, I'm sorry to say. On the spiritual journey, there are no shortcuts. This is what these temptations are about. The devil tries to get Jesus to take three different shortcuts. The shortcut to power, to popularity, to idolatry, and all three of them he refutes. It is important for us to know that it is a lifelong journey. Number three, as soon as we choose God, that is when the devil shows up. The forces of evil don't care about someone who is not trying to follow God and do the right thing. We become a threat to the devil when we start trying to move towards the kingdom. Whenever we make those decisions, the devil shows up. Now, before you say, "Father Marty, before I slip my wrist, you got any good news today?" There's plenty of good news that comes from this. And the first thing we need to consider is that when the devil shows up, you need to treat that as a compliment. Because the forces of evil then are seeing that you have a potential for greatness, and the devil wants to thwart it, to stop it in its tracks. And so when that temptation occurs, the first thing we should say is, "Thank you, and I choose God." We need to treat these times of temptation as opportunities for growth. You know, it's just like in school. The word itself, temptation, same root word as attempt, sometimes translated test. Now, you know, just like in school, you study, you learn, and then to prove your proficiency, you take a test. You pass the test, and you move on to the next level. It's not that different in the spiritual journey we are on. We have these opportunities to continue to choose God as we go along. We just need to treat it as an opportunity, as a compliment. There are some things that perhaps, though, that we do need to change. Temptations take many different forms. And they can be as base as the carnal desires of the flesh. They can go all the way to dishonest dealings in business. They can have to do with my refraining and keeping my love from my family and my loved ones, becoming a workaholic. I mean, you name it, being a gossiper. We are all wired differently, but we all have these temptations to revert to our former self in some way. So some practical things. Ask yourselves, what settings are you in when you tend to fall? Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate the props. What people are you usually with? Avoid them. That can be a hard one. But I know I've been in situations in my life where there's a group of people and all they want to do is talk down about people and gossip about others. And I just have to avoid those people because I don't want to deal with it. It stops me on my journey. Temptation never ends. You know, the gospel ends today. The devil leaves Jesus until an opportune time. Important line. The devil lost this battle, but he's not going to give up. And the devil comes back when Jesus is in crisis times. Very similar words we're going to hear from the thief on the cross. "If you are the Son of God, get down off that cross." From the beginning to the end of his ministry, the devil is trying to get Jesus to take shortcuts, that the end will justify the means. And Jesus says, "No." there will be no regrets. And this is an important one for us. You know, throughout human history, you would think that all the saints who have ever lived, there would be at least one who on their deathbed said, "This whole thing's a bunch of malarkey, don't do it." There has never been one saint who has regretted the way they have chosen to follow Christ. So too for us. There's no holiness in being able to quote Scripture. We learned that today. The devil starts playing Bible bingo with Jesus. He knows the Bible, doesn't he? But boy, does he misuse it. Now, the important takeaway for us, though, is that is not an excuse for us not to know the Bible. And as I encourage our school kids, I encourage us all as well. We should have certain phrases, certain passages of Scripture that become for us our heart verses. Verses of Scripture that when we have our crisis and difficult times, that somehow reading those particular verses or hearing them read to us have given us strength to move forward. Cling to those. I have a bunch of them. Because for me, every crisis I've had in my life, there is a particular word or phrase in the Scriptures that I can call, and it recalls to me, God got me through that with that verse. And so now I know God is going to get me through this as well. What is your heart verse or verses? It becomes important for us to not only recognize the reality, but also the possibility. We're never alone in this battle. Hebrews tells us, Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet never sinned. Think about that. It's not possible for us to be going through anything that Jesus didn't go through himself. And yet he never succumbed. Look to him for your strength in time of need. In our family, we started this tradition. You know, my daughter in the arts and theater got into short films. And every year with the Academy Award nominations, they come out with the nominees for the best short film of the year. And so we now have this tradition. When they come out, we go to the art theater up in Lake Worth and we see these short films. So we went the other night. And there was one of these films that was filmed in Afghanistan. It tells the story of two little boys, Buskashi boys, the film is called. And in the film, there are two boys. One is a street kid, orphan. The other is a boy who lives with his dad as an apprentice to become a blacksmith. The two boys are running around the town, and they like to go up to this huge deserted palace that is at the top of the hill that overlooks the sea. And they go there. And if you are able to climb all the way to the top, you have this incredible view of the entire area with the mountains in the background. It's just gorgeous. Well, the camera shows that if you are going to get up to that top view, there is a ladder that goes up one story, but then there's a rung missing, and you would have to jump to get to the rung to go up all the way to the top. And the blacksmith apprentice boy is afraid to do that. I think there's a good metaphor there for us. These temptations we experience, sort of baby steps, opportunities for growth that we are given, and we continue to say yes to God, yes to God, yes to God. And before you know it, when that time comes when we have to make a colossal jump, we are able to do it because of the preparation that we have done. Those colossal jumps happen for all of us. Perhaps for Jesus it was that temptation in the garden or on the cross itself. Perhaps for us, in whatever way we might be feeling the temptation to revert to our former self or go through a crisis eventually when we will lose someone dear to us or lose a job or we will go into the depths of despair, whatever that crisis might be, these little things we experience now are the preparatory steps so that God will help us to get through it. So go home and be tempted, but treat it as that opportunity, as that compliment, as the way in which Jesus shows us the way that we might continue as he sets his face towards Jerusalem, that we might do the same and follow him.